many people were convinced that there were no HIV positive individuals in their community. And they now know that indeed there are. And in fact, one of the community's own celebrities, a football player that played for their high school and for the infamous Coach Bear Bryant and all that sort of thing, died of AIDS. And I think that's very humbling to finally know someone who has died of this disease and to realize, yes, it is here, and it is happening to people we know and care about. And hey, wait a minute, maybe there is a need for this clinic after all. And maybe they don't want to do this work, but maybe they're glad that somebody is.
On a final note, what are your hopes, you know, because you, like Dr. Hannah, or the other women, you know, you have children. You have children that are growing up, and, you know, I'm sure, I know Dr. Hannah has preached enough to her children about it. What are your hopes, you know, for future generations that are coming up with this disease? I mean, people, society has learned now that it's not the homosexuals that are. I mean, right now, the biggest growing groups are the teenagers and women. Teenagers are both heterosexual and homosexual, and women are becoming the biggest risk groups.
Well, my hope very much is decreasing prejudices of all types. I think our prejudices about a lot of things in a lot of areas are the things that come back to hurt us most emotionally and physically, every kind of way. It's our own hard-headed prejudices and stereotypes of putting people in little blocks. And if we can continue to fight prejudice on all levels, sexism, racism, everything, and about people's sexual orientations and all of that, that we soon realize that we have a common bond. We are all human. Some of us are male and some of us are females, but we're all human beings, and we all can be susceptible to disease. That this disease is a virus and it can affect everyone. And many of the reasons I feel that it's affecting females in such large number is that the female heterosexual population has their blinders on, and they assume still that it's the gay community, and because they're not gay, it's not going to happen to them. And I want my child to know, if you're human, these things can happen to you. And what I speak about most in all my talks is that the little ones now, I mean the real little ones, preschool-aged ones, are the generation that we can effect some change in. I'm not sure about junior high and high school and on. They have so many of their parents' prejudices already built in to them, and their denial systems in place, and their behaviors. The one thing we cannot seem to learn how to do is to change people's behaviors. We can tell them things, but we can't change their behavior, get them to effect a change in their behavior. And I feel that if parents of really small children will get over this hurdle. Most of the parents my age and many parents are younger than me. I got my child kind of late in life, but few of us had parents who talked to us openly and honestly about sex. And it's people my age and younger who are going to be the first group of parents who live in the days when there is a sexually transmitted disease that will kill our children. And we need not only talk to them about looking both ways before they cross the street and that they should eat their vegetables, but we have to talk to them about sex, and we have to talk to them about it early, when they are 3 years old, 4 years old, so that there is an honest, open dialogue established, and we're not embarrassed, and they are not embarrassed. If you wait till adolescence, all this little shyness and tittering and embarrassment can come in, and they've already heard things, and they've heard the dirty words, and they've heard the things that they can't think about without giggling and all that. But if they hear it when they're 3 and 4, it's very normal, natural, like, this is your head, this is your hands, this is your penis, this is your foot, you know, that sort of thing. So they feel very comfortable coming to you as they grow in understanding and having you explain things. And it's incumbent upon the parents, the educators, the folks in churches and schools, to all educate themselves and to come as a united front with the same factual scientific knowledge and educate their children, not on myth, not on emotionalism, but on the facts. Give their children the truth and give them the facts in hopes that, armed with that knowledge, they will want to protect themselves. There comes a time when they're out on their own, and how they put their knowledge into their behavior, you're not going to be there as their parent to see and know most of the time. But at least you know you've given them the truth. You've given them the fact. You've removed some of the emotionalism and the prejudices and the stereotypes. And the, you know, and that's hard to do. That's really hard to do. But our children are important enough to us, and parents can do things that they never thought they could ever do when it comes to taking care of their children anyway. And so this is one thing they're going to have to do if they want their child to live. And I really hope that we can educate parents of young children, that they will open their eyes and open their minds and be willing to start now working with their kids.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. End of tape 9/16/93.